Our next speaker is Paul Julian, also from the University of Florida, like Dr. Englert here, and he's going to be talking about aquatic productivity in a subtropical marsh, I'm assuming it's the STA, and the soil nutrient gradients.
Thank you. All right. So, real quick, before we get started, I really want to acknowledge our funders and collaborators, so the South Florida Water Management District, obviously. Gave us money to do this, the Wetland Biogeochemistry Lab and the Soil Water Sciences at UF for getting me here. So real quick, we're going to go through our objectives and hypotheses really quick and then jump into the real talk here. So the primary objective here is to assess the aquatic metabolism within the STA, the Everglades STAs, as well as evaluating these changes in productivity relative to changes in flow regime as well as nutrient availability and also changes in or differences in vegetative communities. Real quick, a hypothesis is that based on physiological differences between these vegetation types, we're going to probably see some differences in productivity. As well as maybe some changes in hydrology will influence kind of what the productivity is doing. And that maybe nutrient availability could significantly influence productivity one way or another. So going back to the good old days, Odom proposed kind of aquatic metabolism within the water column using the DO or dissolved oxygen method, assuming that there's changes in the dissolved oxygen across any given day, so from night to day. It reflects changes biologically, essentially, biological process. You have animals taking up oxygen and also spitting it out. And so there's a balance between the photosynthetic production of oxygen as well as the respiratory consumption. And also there's that minute little factor in here is called D, which is the exchange between the water as well as the air. So you have some mixing going on within any given system. So the plot to the right here, this didn't actually show up the way it should have, but we're going to go with it, is the original 1956 Odom, what he published, showing productivity as well as respiration and kind of how that spans out between an aquatic continuum. So you have lakes, eutrophic lakes, tropical oceans, all that kind of stuff. And so that line that goes through diagonal across the middle there, if you're above that, you're considered like an autotrophic system. If you're below that, you're considered heterotrophic. Now, the next step, so revisiting Odom, you can see in this plot here to the left, some data has been collected since 1956, obviously, in different systems. Odom kind of did a snapshot of systems across the continuum. Holland actually added a bunch more streams, wetlands, and whatnot. And so you take this middle plot here. Do we have a pointer? This middle plot here, and you kind of draw the bounds around the maximum there. You kind of see that you have streams being the widest kind of productivity, spanning both autotrophic and heterotrophic, and then you have lakes, estuaries, and wetlands eventually. To me, that looks like a nesting doll. You have one system fitting inside to another, and it just so happens that one system kind of flows into another. And so summarizing these two efforts here, you can see that there's changes. Hydrology actually definitely plays a factor, as well as carbon input. So you have internal as well as external carbon inputs. You have nutrient gradients. One thing that is apparent if you squint and kind of try to look at the different systems here, in Odom's original work, he went from oligotrophic lakes to springs, Steve, and I think there's a fish pond in there, one or two. And also landscape and water column factors definitely play in how productivity manifests itself. So thank you, Pat, for introducing the STAs. I don't have to do too much of a heavy lift. Here's our study area. This is a part of STA 2. So if you kind of can orient yourself, it's down here. We looked at cell 1 and cell 3, which are two different systems, essentially. Cell 1 is an emergent vegetation, so we have cattail and sawgrass. kind of system, and then cell three is a submergent system that's mostly hydrilla and that sort of system, so it's submerged aquatic plants. Sondes were deployed at these six sites along the cells here. So we have, they're recorded anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes for the duration of a flow event. So that's usually anywhere from 20 to 30 days collecting high density data. And also in concurrence with that, we had water quality samples. So we went out every week and grabbed nutrient data from the water column. And they were collected during these events. So real quick, a semi-qualitative analysis. So you can see that this plot, the blue is EAB or the emergent system, that's cell one. The orange looking color is SAV, so that cell three system. And you can see there's pretty good differences or drastic differences to where productivity and respiration is relatively low in the EAB system relative to the SAV system. And overall, the net aquatic productivity kind of is the inverse to where SAV is maybe a little bit less than EAV in the net part of it. There's a little caveat to this in that these were collected not concurrently. So when we had one flow event for cell one, we didn't have one for cell three, or SAV versus EAV systems. So this is just, that's why I say it's semi-qualitative, to kind of look at the differences in the ecosystems and seeing how they respond. Real quick, here's a time series of one of the flow events. The top plot is productivity, the middle is respiration, and then you have your net aquatic. This is C20 here is kind of like the inflow station, C200 is the outflow, and this is for cell three, so the SAV system. You can see there's a lot of changes as you go down that flow path. C20 is kind of just motoring along. Meanwhile, C125 smack dab in the middle of the cell is just going gangbusters and doesn't know exactly what it's doing. These black lines along these plots are kind of they're change points, so statistical change points. This is where statistically it has changed. But one thing you notice that there's no consistency between this, like one system doesn't change and then another system changes right behind it. So there's no cascade effect essentially. And so that could be changes in flow regime. You can have, as water attenuates through a cell, the effects at the front end are different than the effects at the back end. And so there's also other factors along this gradient. You have differences in organic matter, soil nutrient concentrations, as well as you have the biota obviously being in there doing something. Here's a real quick comparison, same kind of deal where we have productivity on the top, respiration in the middle, and aquatic productivity at the bottom. Again, inflow to outflow. These are just box plots comparing flowing conditions and non-flowing conditions. The blue are considered, are color-coded flow. There's some differences, but not very consistent differences. The red stars indicate statistical difference between flowing and no flowing. You can see in productivity and respiration, there are obvious differences. But when you get down to the net component of it, there really are no statistical differences between these two. And this is, again, in just cell three. So real quick, looking at the kind of the nutrient components of it, you have, this is kind of the average and then min and max, so you have the range. So the shaded area is just the range of the data. Total phosphorus, dissolved organic carbon, and then just productivity here. And this is for cell three, for the SAV system. And you can see that, as expected, the phosphorus is being reduced. All right, we're doing our job. What's interesting is the organic carbon kind of just lingers along. It doesn't really go up and down per se. I mean, it goes from station to station, but along this cell, it's relatively uniform. One thing that's interesting is the productivity the GPP here does a hump. It kind of maxes out in the middle and then kind of drops back off at the end. Now, looking at an EAV system, again, we have this phosphorus that's declining rapidly. Thank you. But one thing that's interesting is the DOC is declining as well. So the organic carbon concentrations in the water column are also changing. And then due to some technical issues, we don't have a whole lot of data there for productivity, but there's a little bit of a gap. Regardless, there's no real consistent up or down or trend going across. Now, if you compare wetland systems like this to streams, we would expect, and I forgot and neglected to point out that this is fractional distance downstream. So this is zero is your inflow, one is your outflow, essentially. And that's facilitated to kind of compare systems. In streams, we have this condition where we see nutrient reduction as we move downstream, or nutrient concentrations reduce as we move downstream. Conversely, you look at GPP and it does the opposite, where productivity increases. So there's a little bit of a disconnect between systems, but one would expect that we would see the same thing. And we kind of do in this SAV system, except for the back end here, where maybe phosphorus is a little bit more limited, you see a little bit of a drop off in productivity. Now getting to the soils, sorry I was neglecting you guys of all this. This is just a spatial interpolation of soils, soil samples. These dots here are not the soil sample sites. These are the productivity sites. The actual sample sites are in a, set up in a grid, so it's kind of uniform. Again, this is cell three. Here's total phosphorus in the recently accreted soil, and here's the total carbon. And you can see that there's obvious gradients and there's differences as you move down the cell. One thing that you remember in the last slide is that the productivity kind of dropped off there at the end of the cell. And so you can see that there's obviously lowered phosphorus concentrations in the soil, but there's also, interestingly, higher carbon, just total carbon. So which that interplay could be definitely driving a lot of those productivity components. So real quick, summing everything up, there's obviously productivity or metabolism differences between these cells, so both GPP respiration and productivity in general. Factors that influence this could be obviously hydraulics, but it could also be the nutrients as well as the soil reservoirs there. And there are obviously spatial differences in metabolism within that SAV system particularly. That, I can take any questions?
We have time for a few questions.
And one more shameless plug.
You're going to close your eyes tonight and see this slide.
Yes, you will. Shoot.
So, Paul, the productivity measurements, respiration measurements measured between SAV and EAV, this was by looking at the water column?
Correct, yeah.
So, you know, the productivity of the emerged portion of the plant.
Right, so there's obviously, so the question was the productivity estimate was in the water column, and this is between two different species or two different kind of species, where you have emergent system, which most of the plant is above the water column. Submergent is within the water column. So you have differences in inputs from the different plants and how they interact. So obviously SAV does a lot of their exchange in the water. So and I didn't show it, but we see drastic diurnal changes in DO, which accompanies this productivity. Anywhere from 0 to 30 milligrams per liter. And for you in the DO world, that's a shocker. That was a shocker to me. I thought the sond was broken, honestly. But,
yeah. I have a quick question for you. When you're with your TP reduction through that cell, of the fractions that are being reduced, which ones are? Is it the particulate fraction, the dissolved organic, or the soluble reactive?
It's mostly the inorganic, so the soluble reactive portions of it. There's some change in the particulate. Proportionally, as you go down the cell, you have this mass reduction.
Right.
But with the proportional changes in particulate and organic kind of remain the same. But the inorganic is the one that gets taken up.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.